That wasn't 5 seconds.
That was 5 seconds.
Oh, shit. Clive, can you confirm, please?
We are live.
Here we go.
Here we go. So, you enjoy football this weekend, Bob?
I had a really, really good weekend. Thanks, Clive. Did you?
A lovely weekend, mate.
You cunt. Yeah. I see exactly where this is going.
How about you, Mitch?
Do you know what, Clive? It became more enjoyable at about 7 o'clock.
A bit softened, was it?
It was softened, yeah. Thank God for Spurs.
How about you, Luke?
Oh, yeah, I'm ecstatic, mate. Yeah, I'm so happy. Yeah, yeah. No, you know full well I'm pissed off. Fucking hell. We're turning to Man United, aren't we? Fuck's sake.
Is it that bad?
Oh, I don't know. Nah, to be fair, it's just Spursy all over, really.
Great performance, yeah,
we're always like that.
Oh, when the Spurs... Oh,
I mean, we're not even starting with Spurs. We're going to start with West Ham, so don't get ahead of yourself yet, Luke.
Don't start West Ham as much as you want, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought we should just simply because they got their first home win of the season.
We did.
That's also true. Yeah.
In the Bob Derby. So, Bob,
we
take
are
it away.
Massive, aren't we?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Dear.
What a performance that was. It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, they're not a bad team. Like I say, it is my derby, so I've got no bad words to say about them, but man, it was such a good compared to what we've been served up over the past few weeks or past few months, should I say. Absolutely brilliant. Bowen was absolutely brilliant.
He looked
well
sharp,
on form.
Didn't he? He looked very sharp.
And I think it doesn't work with him just playing up front. It doesn't work. I much prefer it.
That's the thing as well, is like you took a note out of Brentford's book and got the goal in the first minute. But even after that, like Antonio looked like an absolute handful again.
Yeah. Like that's one of my notes, actually. Antonio, I think he showed why he's such a good player for us, because it's not just about the goals, but he was an absolute handful. I think there was a chance that when Kudus hit the bar, that was a cross from Antonio.
And it's a good header as well.
Great header. But yeah, he looked brilliant. Kudus looked great again.
Did Kudos play out on the left?
Yeah.
Still, or did he?
Yeah, he played out the left. Paqueta looked good. Like what I really liked about it is that we were playing at some pace as well. It wasn't kind of slow football. We were moving the ball quickly. The only thing I do prefer it when Suchet gets a bit more forward. I think we kind of reverted. I mean, I'm obviously not complaining. I'm just kind of picking holes at something. But we did kind of play the double pivot kind of system again. And I'm just not sure that it always works, to be honest with you. We've seen that in previous
games.
Against
teams that will have more of the ball, do you think it will work? Because you're going from a team that, I think Antonio said it after the game as well, you're going from a team that is used to not having the ball to a team that wants to control the ball and be a team in possession the majority of the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I think that's what he's trying to achieve. I just think, I mean, we saw it in that we tried to do it against Chelsea. And with our forward players, I just don't think it always leaves too much of a gap, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I mean, that's me just picking a one hole out of what was otherwise a pretty good performance, in my opinion. I think Todibo looks really good at the back. I think he looks like he's kind of gelling well with Kilman. Just a really, really positive performance, and I kind of hope that we carry on doing that. I think it's what we've kind of been waiting for, and it's what we know that we're capable of, especially with those front three players. I was expecting this a lot sooner, or front four, should I say, with Paqueta there as well. But yeah, great. I was so happy about it, especially after the last podcast where I was, no, actually the previous podcast before the last one, I was so angry.
Well,
mate, we'll get to your game later.
They're a better team than West Ham, I'm just saying.
After today, I'm not overly sure on that. But yeah, I just think everyone on the pitch, the other thing as well was that we just looked so much more up for it than what we have done in previous games.
And obviously conceding quite close to after you scored, like my initial thought when I saw that was, oh, here we go.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it was a great goal from Delap, to be honest with you. Like, what a bloody finish that was.
Yeah, it was. My note on Delap is he's not going to be there if they're playing Championship football next season.
Absolutely not.
Premier League clubs are going to snap him up. Someone will.
Yeah. I mean, even after the goal, he had a couple of other chances as well. I say chances, but kind of chances that he made. He's such a good player. But yeah, I was the same as you, Clive. When I saw it went to 1-1, I was kind of thinking, oh, this could go, you know, like one way or the other now. But thankfully, we kind of pushed on. I do think Ipswich kind of caused a lot of their own... What's the phrase that I'm looking for? It caused a lot of their own problems, I think. But I think, again, that is credit to how up for it we were, and the press looked a lot more coordinated in this match as well, with the front three. So yeah, I don't have much more to say about it. I'm obviously quite excited about getting a home win. I think it was one of them games where, you know, if we don't win that brings in even more negativity. I know I said it in the previous game against Fulham where it was a must not lose, but it kind of almost felt like that again today because of the, you don't want that record to keep going and going with the whole home win thing.
Yeah, and the thing is obviously going to an international break, like a nice positive result is what you want going into the international break.
Yeah, fucking international breaks, Clive, because what I want now is for West Ham to play Spurs next weekend. That's what I really want, because I think we probably built up quite good momentum from that game. I would love to play Spurs next weekend now. But obviously we've got the international break and fuck that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Fucking international break. I mean, my notes from the game were obviously I thought you looked a lot better, and you just looked like you wanted to win a game of football. Like players were trying, right? Yeah. And maybe that's like Antonio getting the nod ahead of Bowen playing the false nine or whatever. But yeah, you just looked. Just everything looked like it clicked. And as you said, like Ipswich did make their own problems. Like, I think Calvin Phillips basically set you up for one of your goals as well. So,
yeah, he was just paying it forward there. He'd done that for us in his first game for us.
So, in his first game, didn't he? Yeah.
But yeah, I think part of that as well is, or the players looking more up for it, is that they looked like they knew what they were doing, if you know what I mean. Like in the previous games, it kind of didn't look like there was much structure. And like I was talking about with the press, when Ipswich were trying to play out the back, the press looked so much more coordinated in this game. It didn't look dysfunctional like it has done previously.
Is that a case of... Ipswich making it easy for you as opposed to West Ham?
I think it was a bit of both, to be honest. I think it was probably... I think West Ham did play really well. There's no doubt about that. But equally, I'm not sure Ipswich were at their best. But maybe that is credit to how well we played, how well we pressed, and how much we dominated the game. And I will say, we did dominate the game.
if it Ipswich are at at their best, losing 4-1 to West Ham.
Yeah.
Got a long old season.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, it's I feel like it could be a case that we just outplayed them, and that's which we did outplay them.
Yeah.
They also lost 4-1 to Man City, which means
I said at the start, I mean, we are massive, and I think we could probably push on now and maybe get top four, who knows.
I mean, you're not far off. I think a lot of people outside perspectives, it's always a case of they look at the league table, they look at the teams, and they always just assume that the team is shit. You know, well, getting at Bob is what you were saying is that you just outplayed them. You were better on the day to make them look bad. Not that they haven't been bad all season, but sometimes it's just one of those games that you just turn up and you're just a better team, regardless of how poor. And like you said, the pressing in the game, I didn't watch the game, but I assume your pressing and stuff was causing them to make those mistakes because of the high press. Similar to what Tottenham have been doing, is that making teams make mistakes because of the high press, and they always booing it out or giving the ball away or, you know, holding on to it too long. I think sometimes we look at it and go, oh no, Ipswich is just shit, you know. Or even Man United game, they were saying it last week for Tottenham, it's like, oh, Man United are poor. No one praised Tottenham as to, oh, they were great, they're pressing and everything else. It was, no, Man United are shit. You've got to look at it. It's a Premier League, but we're in a Premier League. These teams in the Premier League, the best league in the world. You know, you turn up, and I get it, some games, teams are just bad in general. But I think don't take it away from the team that's won that game. I'd understand if it was like 2-0 or something like that. But 4-1.
It was clear that we had a game plan, that we knew what Ipswich were going to do, and we outplayed them. And like I say, it looked like the players were far more aware of their roles on the pitch, and everyone was up for it. And I think they probably, we say we outplayed them on the day, and I think that is definitely the case. And they probably got in their heads as well. You know, shit, I don't want to keep this record of home losses or, you know, not winning at home. So that probably plays a part as well. And thinking about the start of our season, we've actually only lost against Villa, Chelsea and City, which, they're all clubs that are obviously looking to be top four teams. And I think against Villa, we probably, you know, could have got a result on that in that game on a different day.
What about the Chelsea game?
No, I mean, we don't want to talk about that because, and like I say, we'll get to your game later, Mitchell, and we will sing the praises of Chelsea. So I think we'll crack on now. I think we'll, you know, I don't want to get carried away and start thinking that we're going to go into every game and play like we did against Ipswich, because that's just not the way that the football works. But it's great to have that positive going into the international break.
At least you got an easy team next.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let them score 3 times and we'll beat them 4-3.
The last game with it, I can't remember who it was, when we went 3-0 up or thingy up, when you drew with us. I can't remember who scored that banger outside the box.
Oh, it was Lanzini. It was a couple of seasons ago.
Lanzini, that was it. Yeah, when we had Gareth Bale.
Yeah, great game.
Segue into the Tottenham match, I guess, unless anyone else wants to speak West Ham.
Couldn't think of anything worse.
All right, Luke, take it away.
All right, let's start off with the positives.
What ones?
Let's not go negative. I know. All right, so let's just say Brennan Johnson, 6-6, guys banging it in, knocking on that door.
Yeah,
you know, he's on form at the moment. Can't complain. He's been brilliant defensively, attacking. He's been great. It's good to see. It's good to see that, you know, he's come out of social media, ignored all the critics and dickheads and keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them, snowflakes.
Snowflakes.
I don't know. Snowflakes is probably a bad term there, but you know, I'm just throwing it out there anyway, because there's a lot of snowflakes out there. But people are just quick enough to just moan about shit, yeah, and then get upset about it. So it's good that he's shutting them up. Happy with Brennan Johnson. First half performance of the game. I was happy with the team. Same team we played last week against Man United, no changes. First half was quality. The football we were playing, it was just fluid, quick. And then got the two goals. The first goal, I can't remember the goals now. I watched the game. The first goal of Brendan Johnson's goal. Johnson's goal. Because we had the disallowed goal, which was so close. So close. But the Solanke through ball, which was perfect. The run was great. The finish, quality. I mean, it's a man in form. You know, he's shooting. It's going in other than the chance he had, like, 10 minutes later, which was a bit unlucky. But he's on form. I'm happy for him. And it was a good goal, good team effort. It was good. The second goal, and I knew as soon as we scored the second goal, I was like, oh, this is Tottenham are going to get comfortable, because it's like, it's what we do. It's we get comfortable. We don't play that pressing football like we did before, because we're already 2-0 up. Or why do you continue doing the full press when it could leave space? But what they actually done was left space. But the second goal itself, the keeper should have done better. Keeper should have done so much better. He should be saving that. Any other keeper, I think, in the Premier League would be saving that. It was, I think he went under his arm. And then in the, I don't know if you saw it, and in the goal, one, I was like, oh, keeper should be doing. But I know it's a bit, the player was sort of blocking his view, but it wasn't a hard shot.
It weren't even any pace on the ball, was there, really?
No.
Yeah.
It was just a place, wasn't it? And then the keeper just didn't get a good solid hand on it. But I can't complain. You know, it's at least the first half, I can't complain. It was a good first half. And then second half, I don't know what the fuck happened there. The team came out and didn't know how to play football. Just kept giving it away. I was sitting there, I was like, every second ball we were losing.
As much as we said Bentancur had a good game last week, he had a poor second half this week.
He had a poor second half, yeah. He was solid in the first half, though. Like, he was everywhere breaking up. Maybe it's just tired legs now, Clive, because he's played.
Did he play on Thursday?
He did, yeah. Did he play Thursday? I think he did. I feel like he did. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he played the full game though. I think Bissouma come on.
Right.
I'd have to double check that. But he needs the fitness, so I understand why he's playing the games, because he's been out for so long. He needs more games. But he did look tired that second half, and one of the goals was his fault as well.
Mm-hmm.
For not sliding across or blocking it. It looked like he was just trying to wait for the ball to go out. And then cross came in and Welbeck got the winner.
Do you think, Danny? Well done, Danny. But do you think part of that is the, like, how the intensity of the first half? And I always think this with Spurs, because they play, obviously that's the way that the manager wants to play, right? He plays a really high intensity, yep. You know, high press, that kind of stuff. But do you get worried that you are going to have second halves like that where the players just absolutely gassed?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's all I can say to you. It is that the team, when you're doing that every single week and sometimes twice a week, if players are not getting rested like Bentancur, is that they're gonna get tired like 50th minute, 60th minute in, and they can't keep. And you see that in the second half for the players, they just look tired. Werner ran out of steam, didn't know where to go, what to do in the second half. Kept losing the ball between his legs or giving it away with his passing. It's just tired legs, and that's what happened. But the manager needs to then make a substitution and be like, well, I don't know why he's making a substitution. Like, when we're 2-0, like the 2-2.
So I've got a couple notes as well. And what they both are about Ange. And one of them is, why are you taking Maddison off? Like, one of your best chances of getting a goal on the 85th minute when you're 3-2 down for a young lad. Like, don't get me wrong, the young lad could come on and do something and score the equaliser or whatever. But, like, take one of your defensive players off. Like, leave. Like, you're chasing the game. Like, if it was 2-0 or 3-0 at the time, yeah, sure, shore it up. You don't want to lose. You are away from home. But why are you bringing off Maddison? Like, has Maddison finished the 90 minutes this season yet as well? Like, I every game, it's he's always the one that comes off.
Yeah. I think it's probably because of injury. He's injury prone and it doesn't want him to get those little knocks and wear him down. So he...
He's got a week's break. He's not going to England, is he?
No, I get it. I get it. But you need to put him in cotton wool, mate.
He wanted to save that 3-2 loss, didn't he?
Well,
I don't understand.
I said to when Alan was here, I said the only logical thing I can think of is why he's taken Maddison off. And it's not just, I know I've mentioned the injury and stuff, but I don't think it's that. I think he thinks it's over. I really do. I think at that time, 85th minute, he's
the white flags come out.
The white flags, like, because you can see him nodding through the game, second half.
But that's, he's thinking, that's not it. Like, if that's your manager's mentality, you're not getting top four. It's not going to happen.
Clive, he put on two defensive midfield players on Sarr and Bissouma. Like, that's like, you know, I can only go from my perspective. I'd be curious to see what other fans say. Obviously, the game was a few hours ago, so I've not had a chance to look at people's comments and stuff like that. Yeah, the whole lot. It's just that I'm seeing this and I'm like, okay, we'll look at the bench and we'll go, okay, we can bring on, okay, we've not got any match winners on that bench. Yeah, we've not got anyone on there that'd be like, okay, look, they're going to come on, they're going to win us the game.
Yeah, but you didn't need it. You were 2-0 up.
Well, no, this is the thing.
We're talking about 3-2,
right? This is the second half. But you look at that, you're like, okay, we've got Bergvall on the bench, attacking player. Gray on the bench, attacking player. Spence with his pace, and he could just get forward. Just push up. Lancashire, striker. Go 4-4-2. Put another striker on. Get the balls in the box. It wasn't like we weren't getting down the wing. We were getting down the wing. It's just every time we got to the wing, I'm sitting there like, cross it. No, do you know what I do? Pass it back. All right, you've got a tall striker in the box. It's not like we're playing like against Saliba or Gabriel.
Bundles, yeah. Bundles of goals with his head.
Look, he scores a few. I think he got a fair few last season.
Aerial jewels, mate. Aerial jewels. We all know he wins them.
But you've got a tall player in there that can get those headers in. Yeah. Go for it, but we're not doing it. So yeah, it's frustrating. So that's the only thing I can think of. What logical person would be like, you've got 3-4 attacking players on the bench, but we're just going to stick two defensive midfield players in.
Yeah, let's take our most creative, our number 10 off when we're chasing a game. My other note is, like, obviously I don't want to compare Tottenham and Arsenal at all, because there is no comparison at the moment.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, go on. Let's throw that in there. But
obviously, like, Arsenal had the game with Leicester. 2-0 up, cruising at half-time. Second half, they come out, get two good goals, two early goals.
Yep.
Like, previously, Arsenal fans would be a bit nervy. And the difference is we're at home, so we can draw on the crowd and the energy from the crowd to push us on, rather than obviously being away where the Brighton fans would obviously get well behind their team.
Oh, exactly. The pitch is different as well from what you're used to for your home games.
The other thing that I think is your manager at that point is the one that you need to, as you say, like, when it goes to 2-2, make a defensive change. Go, all right, let's stop that third goal from happening. Let's shore it up. Why are you doing that at 3-2? Like, my point being is, I think he doesn't have any other plan other than plan A. I don't think he knows what to do to change things if it's not working anymore. Like, you go in at half time, all gravy. What does he say, Bob? Do your impression.
I don't want you to score anymore, mate.
And then, like, he goes, just do the same. Just do the same second half. We're not going to change anything. We'll win this game 4-0. Other manager, ripping into the Brighton players, saying, right, you've got up here. So out comes second half comes along. Brighton, they're there. They're up for it now. You can see that. And you've now got to change things again. You've got to react. And I just don't think he's got a reaction in him.
No, it's not. And sometimes it's hard to explain. I'm looking at this now, yeah? Because obviously I watched the game and I won't pay attention of exactly when they scored the goals. But I'm looking at it now. They scored on the 48th minute, the 58th minute, and the 66th minute. The subs came in on the 79th minute for Werner and Bentancur. And then the 85th minute for Maddison. Like, I 79 minutes when they scored on the 58th minute for 2-2. And it didn't look like it was changing even 5 minutes after that.
Yeah.
You know, they looked like they were going to go and score another goal the way we were playing. I don't, anyone on the back can see what was going on. I'm shocked. And this is what I said to you, Clive, when you said to me about, you know, like if Tottenham, you know, the 10-man situation. I know the comments, we mentioned briefly, didn't we, about the comments that Spurs fans were making because comparing Arsenal when it went 10 men against Man City, when we 10 men against some fucking no team, you know, and I was like, it's a stupid comment from Spurs fans. Yeah, I said, obviously, we did it against Chelsea last season where we just had the high line at the halfway line. He would do that. He would go down to 10 men and he would do that.
It's not stubbornness, it's naivety.
Well, look, you both, you know, you could put them together then for him,
yeah.
Because it's, yeah, he's just fucking, look, I love the way that we're playing. I cannot fault the way that we're playing in terms of the high press. The football in the first half was so good. Second half, a 15 minute break and they're back out and it's like a different team's came out. I don't get it. I want to shout out to Matoma. I think he was fantastic the whole game. I think he was brilliant. Every time he got the ball, he looked like he was going to destroy us and do something magical.
He's been a bit quiet start of the season as well. He's not really had a great start to the season, but I'm happy to see him play well today, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's nice to see him turning it on against Spurs, isn't it? Always nice to see.
But look, I pissed off for the second half.
I also think your defence has got one or two questions to answer for, because two of those goals, like Ndougi should do better for the one, and the Dutch lad for one of the goals as well.
blame Van de Ven. He overcommitted and then got caught out and then they scored. Yeah, but they shouldn't have been in that position though. Like, I know we can blame the defence. The one that your doggy should have got, even Van de Ven should have really got it when he slid in the first goal, but he couldn't get there quick enough. I guess in
quickest centre half ever. I know, but I guess
not. Unfortunately, not when you're sliding. All right.
Or when there are actually players in front of you.
Easy there, Mitchell. Fucking hell. All right, easy there. Don't see any of your players on that list.
What list?
Then your doggy just mishit it, and then they got the goal, which was a good finish. It's Tottenham. I said to Alan, like, we need to be 4-0 up sometimes against teams, because we can't go 1-0 up and think we're going to keep a clean sheet unless the team gets sending off. that's it.
Yeah, have you seen the new stat for Spurs?
I have. For this game.
Well, you've this is the 10th time where you've led by two and lost the game, and that is 3 times more than any
in
other
Premier
club.
League history is what Mitchell wants to
in Premier
get
League
out
history.
Here.
So yeah, we're the number one team in the world that loves
the shit stuff.
Shit stuff. What was the stat that they said? Yeah, that was it. They showed a stat on the TV that Brighton have never, they've only come back once. No, they've only won a game. Oh, what's that? No. I think they've only won a game once
two
when they've
behind or
come
like
back with 2-0 behind. I think that was against Man City. I think they said. I said to Alan, I guarantee it, this game, they're gonna Tottenham love getting fucking these.
At least you're competing with City in something.
Any time to get a stick at Tottenham, eh? And just hit me with it. I'm already down. All right, cheers. Appreciate that.
So you're not happy with the result?
Of course, I'm not fucking happy with the result, Mitchell. Look, this ain't the beginning of the season where we were.
I thought you liked losing 3-2.
No. I don't like losing at all. Not at this point now. At the beginning of the season, the first 3 or 4 games, I'm like, okay, we can see where we're going. And then we started picking up results. Then we've gone 5 games unbeaten. And then we lose against Brighton when you're 2-0 up.
Still think you finish in top 4?
I think
you've lost 3 games already this season.
Yeah, that's it. We'll just stick with 3.
What percentage are you on now?
I'm not doing percentages, Mitch. I'm not doing percentages. Yeah, it was...
Luke.
Yeah, it was a poor game.
Just to make you feel a little bit better. Last time you played Brighton at home, or Brighton were at home, they won 4-2 rather than 3-2.
4-2,
yeah.
I know.
So,
oh, fucking hell,
yeah. I know that stat, but we weren't fucking 2-0 up. But 2-0 up and playing brilliantly in the first half, and then just come out in the second half. With the first half, we did. I think overall possession wise, yes, but I wouldn't say we dominated. Even with the first half, I wouldn't say we even dominated the first half. Going back to that now, I think we just put our chances away in the first half. Welbeck should have scored when the ball come across the box, but he obviously can't finish with his feet like Nicholas Jackson. Whatever school he went to, they went to the same one. And yeah, what it's Tottenham. We just knew it was going to happen. I was annoyed we were 2-0 up. I'd rather have just been 1-0 up going to the first half.
I was annoyed at being 2-0 up.
Because this is what
said
happens.
The Spurs fan.
You don't watch Tottenham. Trust me, this season, you'll be saying.
I want to go to sleep.
This season, there'll be certain games where you feel like uncomfortable. You'll be like, oh, fuck, we shouldn't have scored so early. Or look at Brentford. They scored the first minute. It sort of went against them, didn't it, for the rest of the games that they've played by scoring early. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just sometimes teams where they have that 0-0 and then everyone's like looking for that one goal and the game changes. But when you go 2-0 up, Tottenham are like, okay, we're comfortable now. Go into the first half, second half, they feel like they can
say 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline.
It is. It's especially when you're Tottenham. It's a dangerous scoreline for Tottenham.
So just to add salt to the wound, you're only 2 points ahead of United and only 2 points ahead of West Ham as well.
I saw that and I wasn't going to say anything. Yeah. But after we beat West Ham, we'd be 3 points. It'd be 5 points. I was going to say we'd get the 3 points. I was meant to say that, but I'm already angry, Clive. All right. I can't get my words out. I'm pissed off.
Battle, isn't it?
Fuck off.
It could still turn into relegation, although the teams down there are fucking hopeless.
West Ham are not far from there. So
anyone else want to pile in on Luke at the moment?
Well, I'm so glad that is on recording, Luke, because when we beat you, that is getting TikToked by Clive.
Okay. I'll say this for the podcast. We are beating you, Bob.
Oh, okay.
We are beating you.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a Desmond.
Well, in the
do we want to
in the first
do you want to try and do a side bet?
Clive, you know me and bets. I'm not betting Tottenham.
Didn't think you would, but I mean, we could take the Arsenal shirt out of the pot again. We could put that on the table again.
I'm not betting.
Imagine if you go 2-0 up in the first half.
Yeah,
I don't feel worried about West Ham. I don't feel worried about West Ham. They got like one good player, and that's about it.
Are you joking? That's a ridiculous statement.
There you go. Just throwing out that.
Who would that one good player be? Just out of interest.
I wanted him to name him as well.
Yeah,
Bowen, of course.
Right.
Bowen.
So Mohamed Kudus is trash. Then is he?
I don't know, mate. I never heard of him.
Paqueta, mate. Honestly, I can't wait. What's you're that? Lucky that there's a
mate. You're just naming food things now, aren't you? Fucking hell. God, baguette and fucking
baguette.
Fucking West Ham.
You're lucky there's an international break.
And couscous. Fucking hell. We don't need
couscous.
Fucking hell. West Ham.
Well, I'm glad that you can take your anger out somewhere, Luke, rather than against Spurs. You have to aim it at West Ham.
I have to.
But yeah, we'll do a live recording of the West Ham Tottenham game, shall we?
Oh, dear.
I'd love to. I'd love to be there for that. Yeah.
What's the date for that one?
That's the 19th, isn't it, or something like that?
That's it. No near time.
Yeah, that is October fixtures. Yeah, it's the early kickoff on the Saturday, the 19th.
Nice.
So yeah, it could be on the cards because I think then Arsenal play in the evening as well. Yeah, we got the late kickoff against Bournemouth. What a day of football!
I'm absolutely
not
up
like
for
this.
That.
Not like this weekend coming when it's shitty fucking international football.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fucking international football.
It's even worse than watching
right,
Spurs.
let's go ahead and talk about the Arsenal. Go on, the Arsenal.
Someone just make a sick noise.
Mitchell.
Yeah. Well done, Mitchell.
So is it one of those games for Arsenal where the first half we was just all over them, but couldn't find the back of the net? I don't really think we made many great chances either. We just had a lot of ball in a lot of dangerous areas. Second half, we went 1-0 down, and that kind of kicked us into gear. And Kai Havertz linking up with Saka once again. Saka intercepts the ball. Like Southampton playing with the ball inside their own kind of 20 yards. They need to learn a lesson. Like, I know the manager keeps saying that they're not going to change the way they play, but fuck me, they are going to go down with the least amount of points if they keep doing it.
It's the fucking Burnley effect again, isn't it? Like, they've done exactly the same thing last year. And
they just think they can be the one that changes the whole mentality of, no, we don't need to change our way to play with the big boys. You do.
Yeah.
Like, the difference in class between the Championship and the Premier League now is massive. So unless you've just gone out and completely bought a whole new team, you need to change the way you play football. You need to be a bit more smart. Havertz, great finish as well. One touch and then bang. Martinelli's goal, what a cross by Saka. He's played that ball a few times. You'd say maybe Ramsdale should do a little bit better because it's a real tight angle, but Martinelli's, again, what great finish, great place. Like, he's timed his run perfectly.
Ramsdale's isn't he? He's still an Arsenal player at heart, isn't he? He's like,
he does love us and we love him back. And then the third goal, Saka, the defender takes a heavy touch in the box once he's won the ball, and Saka comes in and just smashes it home with his right. We made a lot of hard work out of it again. It could have been a much more comfortable result. But the nice thing was we did rotate. Jesus started, Sterling started, Thomas Partey at right back. Didn't really work. It didn't work last season because we actually started the first, I think, three Premier League games with him there last season. And I think it shows a bit more of the maturity from Saka. Because he's able to again adapt. Like he is doing a lot of work backwards as well as Martinelli, and with someone playing behind you that isn't naturally a right back, you kind of think, well, he's going to have to pitch in and do a bit more. But even when he had the ball in attacking areas, he was trying to make things happen, even without the overlap of Ben White or Timber. Yeah, superb. The boy was class. I wanted to speak a bit more about Kai Havertz after we touched on him last week in regards to him playing that central striker kind of position, because when we started the game, so Havertz started yesterday as well, but he played more the midfield role. And Jesus, for all you guys who get annoyed, played as the striker, and you can see the difference in Arsenal when Havertz is in that position, because it gives us that long ball kind of hope as well, because he does battle for everything. He wins a lot in the air. His touch is superb as well. There's times where he does still kind of look like he's got no confidence with some of his touches, and like the ball strays away from him a couple of times. But he's now joined, I think, Van Persie in scoring at home in his last 7 games in all competitions. So he loves the Emirates. It's 5 in 5 Premier League games for him. Long may it continue. That's on the back end of last season as well.
What are your thoughts on Jesus, Clive? Because I've seen a lot of noise on Twitter about, not hating, I don't want to say hate, but like questioning his ability.
I don't, like, he's definitely not a starter at the moment. I think he's just in that space at the moment. After his injuries, he's lacking confidence. And I say the same with Sterling as well. I think they're both trying too hard, if that makes sense. So when they get the ball in a good, dangerous area, rather than taking a second, looking up, like seeing what the best option is, they're just snatching at shots. They are so desperate to score a goal and get them ticking along that they are just rushing things and not thinking. I think his time might be done as the number nine at Arsenal, but he could still offer a lot on either wings as cover for Saka and Martinelli. And he works incredibly hard when he's on the pitch. A lot of people, in the Premier League nowadays, with the exception of one or two strikers, you need the whole team to be the defenders, right? You want to play the high press.
Yeah.
You want to be the first one. You need that trigger. And when Odegaard's fit, Odegaard is that trigger, and then the other attackers then all go as well. Jesus can and does do that. He presses very good. He's very good at winning the ball back in high areas. But I just think he just needs a little bit of confidence. And the Arsenal fans that go on the regular will give him that confidence, like we did with Kai Havertz. We're patient. It will come good. And the same with Sterling as well. The beauty of those two players are we've got a squad at the moment that allows them to go through this rough patch, and we can still grind out the results. We can still get results. So yeah, we've just got to buy their time, and it will come. Is my honest opinion.
Was the first goal for Southampton, mm-hmm. was that a foul? Or was that just a Vardy one from the week before?
Yeah, it's just a coming together. And I think it's like, although Sterling's running through, I think it's Sterling that makes the contact rather than the defender. So I've got no gripes with it. If it had been given against Arsenal as a foul, I'd be annoyed. So,
Of course you would.
I do think we could have had a penalty in the first half when Sterling was through, though. But again, we're not I don't want to be the "woe it's me" Arsenal fan once again. It's not happening. We won. We looked comfortable once we changed their shape. And as I say, rotation is going to play a big part of this season. And it's nice. We've still got players to come back. Obviously, Ben White and Timber both missed at right back. Tomiyasu's just coming back. Odegaard to come back yet. So, yeah. Onwards and upwards. Fucking international break. How many players get injured? Saka's going to play 90 minutes in both games. Fucking joke.
Probably. I'll ask another question, Clive.
Yeah?
The game itself, similar to the West Ham Ipswich game, where Ipswich play bad, and it's not about, I'm obviously saying about West Ham's performance, but other people might just say that Ipswich are so bad. Looking at Southampton and where they are in the league and the way that you played, would you say that you were just a better team in general, or Southampton
I just think shit?
I want to get sort of opinion, overall, because I want to get a better understanding of this as the people's opinions in these games nowadays.
So, for me, I expect to win that game regardless. Southampton have been a bit of a bogey team for us. Two seasons ago, we drew with them 3-0 at home. Fair Walcott scored a couple or whatnot. But again, I think they go in that naivety scope, as we said earlier, like Burnley did last season. You can't go to a team like Arsenal and, with the players you've got, play it out from the back. So, it is a matter of time. Even when we went 1-0 down, I think you'd find a lot of Arsenal fans would still be very confident in getting a positive result from that game because of the way they play and the way we press. Southampton aren't, in my opinion, they're not a good team. They're going to concede a bag loads of goals this season. I'm not going to say it's disappointing to only win 3-1, but as I predicted, for man versus AI, I wanted more goals and I wanted a clean sheet as well.
Oh yeah. You changed it to 4-1, didn't you?
4-0 is what I went with.
You fucking idiot.
You still would have lost anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can pipe down. but yeah, like it's not a result where we're buzzing because it's an expected result. And a little bit like the Leicester result as well. Like we're not coming away buzzing from that result. Like we want to win every game we're playing, and we are at the moment.
Who's your main striker now then? So would you prefer Havertz in the middle?
Havertz is 100% my number one pick as a centre forward,
right,
for Arsenal. Like, and his stats and the way we play cement that as well. And one of the things that I said last season is one of the games we lost at the end of the season to Villa at home. Jesus was coming back from injury and we played him up as a number nine and dropped Havertz back into midfield, and it just didn't work. So, like, for me, if you are gonna play Jesus up front, drop Havertz to the bench and bring him off the bench to then change a game. Like, but at the moment you can't drop him. He's like Johnson for Tottenham. He scores. He's scoring goals every week. He's scoring goals. As I say, 7 goals at home in his last 7 home games. All right. Yeah.
Quite a good record. And then you got Norman Bates as your super striker sub.
Who's Norman Bates? Trossard. Sorry. Trossard's been playing the number 8 role. He's been more filling in for Odegaard, playing behind the striker. So at the moment, the only real 2 options we have as a number 9 are Jesus and Kai.
It was nice to see Havertz score a goal like that. I feel like
he's normally a header or kind of a cheeky little one kind of in the last 6 yards. So yeah, it is nice for him to have one from just outside the area, and he's curled it around the goalkeeper.
Saw his weaker foot as well, if I remember.
It was a left foot, yeah. I can't remember what foot it is, but I
call yourself an Arsenal fan, kind of.
But even Saka scored with his weaker foot. So it's a good game. Like, again, Saka with 2 assists. Yeah, fantastic. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Don't keep it going.
Keep it going. And I think we're coming to it next podcast, but I think Bournemouth are going to be a bit of a tougher opposition for us. But there's anything else about Arsenal, or shall we go over to Chelsea?
Nothing more for me.
I don't care about Arsenal.
Chelsea.
Thank you, Clive.
Go on, Mitchell.
That was a beautiful rendition.
You're shit, so yeah.
I know. No, I feel like
fucking Nicholas Jackson. Fucking, how many chances did he miss?
I am going to mention Nicholas Jackson. Here we
go. Why didn't Cole Palmer get 4 assists and 5 goals?
Wait.
We need to drop him. Sell him now. He's lost it. He's washed.
He's knocking on the door of world class, isn't he? It's not quite there. I think you're all expecting me to be disappointed.
Rightly so, right?
No, because Nottingham Forest have had a very good start to the season. I mean, they've lost 1 game?
Correct, yeah.
They've done all right. They've held their own against decent sides. What I will say, right, so obviously it's a shitty 2 o'clock kickoff. It's not on TV. And I tried to slap the radio on. For first half, you're not going to believe it, right? They were playing the T20 women's international cricket.
You're a sexist. I have no problem with women's.
But yeah, so I've missed the first 30-ish minutes, but it sounds like for the whole of the first half, nothing major happened. We were in control. We just couldn't break them down. They had 11 men behind the ball. They might have had the odd chance. But it was all us. It just seemed like a matter of time. All the action happens in the second half. we concede, but then we get straight back into it 6 minutes later. Madueke, you know I love that boy. He's had a blinding game. Him and Palmer again, linking up and making loads of chances. Palmer having loads of chances. I did hear the commentator moan about Jackson and say, why hasn't he shot? And, I mean, I've said it many times. He just overthinks sometimes, or doesn't think enough. I don't know what he does in his head. And I know there are some people out there that seem to really, really like Jackson. Yep. I don't dislike him, but he didn't do anything in this game. And then Nkunku comes on for him, as he normally does.
And does nothing.
Yeah.
He created a couple of chances. Or he had a couple of chances, sorry, which was more than Jackson had for 70 minutes.
But he didn't score.
But,
so,
no, you're right. He didn't score. No, yeah, he didn't score. But then he had a tough 90 minutes on Thursday, didn't he? He's probably tired, the boy. Getting a hat trick. He's our top goal scorer on Nkunku across all competitions.
Who did you play on Thursday?
Ghent.
Yeah, I mean, that explains it.
Yeah, they're the top side, Clive. It was a mad. It sounded like it was a mad second half.
A lot of yellow cards again.
The whole, yeah. Both benches came up. I'm not sure what happened. What really kicked it off? It was around the 80th, and I think someone had pushed into someone else. I don't know who it was, but yeah, both benches just come barreling in, and it was classic football argy bargy. It was getting in people's faces and not doing anything about it. But it went on for quite a while. There was an injury that went on for quite a while. It ended up being 13 minutes added time. And you'd be very happy with this, Clive. Nottingham Forest employed the world famous Arsenal Dark Arts. it was beautiful, apparently. They were just, yeah, keep a time wasting, everyone time wasting, falling
what,
over the ball.
What have Arsenal injuries. Done to the Premier League? Oh,
honestly,
ruined it.
Honestly, they created the dark arts. It wasn't Mourinho. The whole 13 minutes, actually, that's not true. So the 30 minutes extra time, 6-7 minutes of it, it was constant. I've seen some of the highlights. I can't remember their keeper's name, but he made some blinding saves. Yeah, some real top-notch saves and a double save from a Palmer chance. He kept Forrest with a point for that game. It really was blinding. But then you could argue, literally the last couple of minutes, Forrest had the best chances and Sanchez made a blinding save right in the last minute, because this would be a very different conversation if we had lost that 2-1.
This is my problem with what you're saying, Mitchell, right? Like you're saying that, draw against Forest is all right, yeah, or whatever, which I kind of agree with. But we might as well call it 25 minutes. For the last 25 minutes, they were down to 10 men. And also,
pretty funny red card as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
If you're a team that you're kind of expecting to reach top four, I just don't think you can come away happy with a draw against Forest.
Well, I wasn't expecting top four.
Oh, I thought you was.
Like I said last week.
I swear you said that.
No, I wasn't expecting top four. No. I said last week that I had predicted, I think it was 16 points or whatever, in the opening 10. And here we are, 7 games in. I think, what are we on, 15?
Mitchell's top four was bonkers. It was City, Arsenal, Newcastle, Villa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, but I'm sure you said something in previous podcasts. But anyway, does it?
No, I said we're overperforming at the moment, in my estimations, which is why this is what plays into it, which is why I'm not massively disappointed, because this isn't the Nottingham Forest of last season. They started the season very well.
Yeah, and I'll back Mitchell up in the sense that obviously they're the only team that have beaten Liverpool so far this season as well.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree that Forest are a good they're a good side. But you're playing the last 25 minutes against 10 men. I just feel like I couldn't be happy coming out of that game with a draw.
Well, yeah, well, the last 25 minutes. I mean, I would have loved to have seen what would have happened if Ward-Prowse didn't handle the ball, because it was just past their halfway line.
Bad touch.
And Jackson's come steaming in. And he knows he's fucked it. So he just falls on the ball and grabs it with his hand. What a fucking idiot. I mean, that's a straight red. He got a second yellow for it. I don't really fucking care.
Is it a straight red?
Yeah, because it's a goal scoring opportunity, isn't it?
Is it? He's on the halfway line.
He's the last man.
He's on the halfway line.
It's a bit further up from the halfway line. But he could have been the last man.
He could have been the only player left running one with a goalkeeper from the halfway line if everyone else was in there or not. And the referee would have still gave that a yellow because he knew Nicholas Jackson was never going
to score. And it's a one-on-one chance. Distance to goal. Like, there could be a covering player.
It's a one-on-one chance.
No, it's not. It's not a red card. I've
seen it. There wasn't. Listen, and I'm also going on what was said on the radio station that I cannot say, and they were all saying it was a red because he's last man. He has stopped. It wasn't Sport Talk. No. But it was funny. I mean, what a fucking prick. But I would have loved to have seen if Jackson would have scored it, because I don't think he would have.
Exactly. So definitely a yellow card
then. I wonder he's not for confidence, right, when all of his own fans are saying this. No, I fucking hate Chelsea. Sorry, carry on.
I hate Chelsea as well, honestly. No, and this is, I know what you're saying, Bob. Maybe I shouldn't be happy. No, I'm not sorry, not happy or complacent with a 1-1, given that they were down to 10. But it didn't change much in the sense that they were parking 11 behind the
ball. Well, 11 was
the
it?
The whole game point. Anyway. So, yeah, 25. They're still parking 10. They're still parking 10 behind the ball, and 10 men is still hard to break down.
As Man City,
like I say, yeah. But like I say, we're over. I think we're overperforming. So I'm all right.
Fair enough. I mean, you're still in the top four.
Still in the top four. Yeah, goal difference. Gotta love it. But again, this is the whole thing. How the fuck can you predict Chelsea? What I need to start doing is, like, on a week where we do get a four goaler, because we've had a couple of them, next week go for a draw. it's just not going to happen. Although now it's like international break next week.
Yeah.
Does that reset that? So next the week after, we're going to beat Liverpool 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean,
who knows?
Who knows indeed. Hopefully Cole Palmer plays instead of Saka for both games.
I hope not. Where would he play him? Saka would be on the right. Palmer would play in the middle, wouldn't he?
Well, who fucking knows? Hopefully he plays Palmer on the right.
Well, I was thinking
Saka.
Well, I was thinking he might play Madueke instead of Saka. But Madueke got injured, so it might be a good excuse.
Oh, injured, with quotation.
Yeah. It was in the handbags. I don't know if someone fucking trodden him or what, but he had to come off injured. So I hope we use that as an excuse. So Saka does have to play 90 minutes and he gets injured. Oh, what a shame.
Did Jared Bowen get called up?
No, he didn't.
He can play
90
minutes.
No. Oh, and I'm so happy about it. So happy
God
about it.
God damn it. Anyone else about Chelsea?
This shit.
I mean, they're better than Spurs, so
I can't disagree with that.
And with Sam.
I can disagree.
Can you? Well, you beat the mighty Ipswich.
Yeah, we just had an off day on Chad. And like I said last week, Nicholas Jackson coming out party. Mitch,
you know we're both
he's
fucked.
Come back in party, though.
We're both fucked if we both can't beat Ipswich, Mitchell, this season. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, but we beat West Ham, so it's all right.
As that level out. That means you definitely will beat Liverpool next week, or 2 weeks' time then, if that's the way it works, because Forest are the only ones
that's the way it
that,
works.
Beat them, and you drew with Forest, so you're going to win.
That's how it works.
Okay. So I like the match.
Let's go to Man versus AI. Man versus AI. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Thank you. So I mean, not a great week for anyone, even AI. To be honest, we've made a point or two on them though.
Did we?
I mean, you didn't.
Obviously.
So
you're still bottom though, Luke. Fucking hell.
Still rooted bottom. Yeah.
My life story, Mitchell. My life story.
So what do we have? We had
AI predicts Arsenal to win 3-0, so it got 1 point. AI predicted West Ham to win 2-1, so it got 1 point. Predicted Chelsea to beat Forest, so it didn't get any points.
What mug?
And it predicted Tottenham to beat Brighton, so it got 0 points there. So
what,
total,
what did it predict for that game?
It predicted a 3-2 Brighton, Tottenham win. Oh. And oh yeah, well done everyone for not calling Brighton Wolves this week.
Oh, yeah.
Well done everyone. Bob predicted a 2-1 win as well for West Ham. Clive predicted a 4-0 Arsenal win. So Bob and Clive both get 1 point.
Woo.
Mitchell predicted a 3-1 Chelsea win. So 0 points. Luke predicted a Tottenham 2-1 win. So 0 points.
Look, the first half it was going that way. You know, I thought they might at least get a goal in the second half. And
they did.
Win.
And then they did again. And then they did again.
Yeah. I get it. So, you wait till you play Ryan.
We played them. We drew them.
Exactly.
So AI is on 27 points. We are on 18 points.
Oh, fucking.
8 of them provided by Bob. 5 of them provided by Clive. Mitchell has provided 3 points. and Luke, lovely two points.
It's all right.
Red will look good on you. So
it's
good.
It's still early days.
It is still only 7 games in, so got a lot of time yet.
That's it, yeah.
So because the international break is a cunt, we are going to do the England predictions again. Woo!
Can't wait to watch England.
So, Bob.
Yep.
England v Greece. England at home.
5-0 England.
Oh, we love it. A bit of fun, isn't it, boys? It's a bit of fun.
Bit of fun.
I will go...
7-0.
Nah, I'm going to go 3-1 England.
I thought you said it's a bit of fun, Clive. I'm very conservative.
It is. I don't know. Greece or Mitchell.
2-0.
2-0. Oh.
To Greece. No.
Oh my God. That was so loud.
I moved right to the microphone.
I quite like doing Lukey. That. It's quite cool, isn't it?
It felt good.
I'm going to go 1-0 England.
1-0. Yeah, he knows.
There's no Harry Kane.
So we've not got any other strikers?
Well, I don't think anyone's as good as him, but I think 1-0.
Okay. England away to Finland, second game, Bob.
5-0 England.
I'm going to go 3-1 England.
you're not going to believe this, Wes. I'm going to go 2-0 England.
Luke?
It's going 1-0, isn't it?
Oh, the fun we have.
Ooh, yeah.
On the podcast.
All right. Let's go to AI. What does it reckon? England 4, Greece 0. England should dominate this game, especially with home advantage. Greece may put up a defensive effort. England's firepower and depth should overwhelm them. Dun, dun, dun. I don't know if it knows if Harry Kane's not playing, though, so who knows. England v Finland.
I know that Harry Kane is not playing.
England 3, Finland 1. Reasoning: Finland could be trickier opponent with some solid counter-attacking options. However, England's quality away from home should also secure them a win. Cool.
See about that.
Should. As you said last week, it's never very definitive, is it?
It isn't.
I mean, I've got a 100% record so far with England results.
Yeah, just need to transfer that over to.
Don't. Oh, you can't. Not with Tottenham. you can't. I could say we're gonna win a simple. Everyone expects to win game. Yeah, a team could go down to 9 men, and it will still be a draw.
You're beginning to sound like Mitchell here, Luke.
This was mate, you don't watch Spurs enough. I've been watching them all my life. I know what they're like. They just frustrate the shit out.
Yeah, I've been watching them all my life too, and they're shit. Like, you should know that and just predict in that way.
Mate, you must be... Mate, if they're shit, you must be fucking well-annoyed West Ham then. If you think Tottenham
is
shit.
No, we're massive.
Massively shit.
Massive. West Ham are massive. Is there any other football-related conversation you want to have?
Football on the podcast.
Football.
Touchdown.
No.
We may join the International Break podcast next week. We may chat about away kits, people.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
we did the home kits, so let's do the away kits.
It's only taken 6 hours of content to get there.
Cannot wait. Right, let's wrap it there.
Five, four, three, two, one.